Okay. Anyway. The question is, why did I pick this drum most of that? So there are three reasons. The first thing is the guys like something they can say as a Dvar Torah. So this is on the Haftorah Shabbos HaGadol. The guys should hopefully will be home Shabbos HaGadol, right? Shabbos HaGadol is the Shabbos before Pesach, right? They're home ready. So practical, even if there's no Musar. Second of all, I think there's a tremendous chiddush intellectually. And third of all, there might be a little bit inspirational chiddush too. But it's definitely a very big intellectual chiddush. But I think it's inspirational also. There's a pasuk in the Haftorah Shabbos HaGadol. It says the follows. Ushaftem v'ra'isem, you should sit and see. Bein tzadik l'rasha, the difference between a tzadik and Russia, you should realize what a tremendous difference there is. Bein oved elo him v'asher lo avdo, and the difference between a person who's oved Hashem and someone who doesn't oved Hashem. So, correct. Ask the Gemara. The Gemara in Chagiga. My diksev. Ushaftem v'ra'isem bein tzadik l'rasha. Bein oved Elohim, l'asher lo avdo. Hainu tzadik, hainu oved Elohim. Hainu rosh, hainu lo avdo. Now, it's an interesting kasha. The pasuk redundant. So it's an interesting question for those who are, whoever they're Navi. There's a giant machlekes among the Mefarshei HaTanach. There are many Mefarshei HaTanach that say that Tanakh always repeat themselves. Because there are many psukim, if you look at them, they seem to be redundant. The two halves, in Tehillim a lot of psukim. But the Gra, and the Malbim, and many, you know, those say that's not true, that according to Chazal, psukim don't repeat itself. In other words, you know, if you look, and they might be similar. In other words, they're like here, Shatem Re'isem Pain, Tzadik, the Rasha, Ovdo Kim, him, the Ashero Avdo, sounds redundant, you know, similar, it's the same pattern, but the Gemara's group is saying that they can't mean the same thing, otherwise they wouldn't say it. So it's an important Hashkafa. I think the Eben Ezra might say not like that, the Radak says not like that, but they learned Mikra de Pshuto. So they learned that in Tanakh, Psukim just, in poetic language, many psukim, especially Tehillim, etc., are poetic and therefore they're redundant. They repeat themselves. I know you think of a pasuk. Often I didn't stop to think about any psukim, but you see from the Gemara, Farish Gemara, that the Gemara is saying not like that. I think Gemara is saying the Gra, that we don't believe that a pasuk repeats itself. So that's the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara answers. In other words, it's going like this. Shaftem Re'isem Bein Tzadik L'Rasha. And now we're splitting between Tzadikim. And even in Tzadikim, there are two types of Tzadikim. There's Bein Oved Elokim, L'Asher Lo Avdo. That's what he's saying. Tzavayu Tzadikim Gemuri. They're total Tzadikim. The Ein Adayim is shown a perikol to Mei Apamim, the shown a perikol to Mei Avichod. And one's talking about a person who learns 100 times, and one's talking about a person who learns 101 times. So the person who learns 101 times is a much higher level. So he's called Oved Elohim, Asher Lo Avdo. Right? So that's the psukim. Shat the reason means Tzadik L'Rasha, that's Tzadik in Russia. And then within it, Tzadik, there's Oved Elokim, a person who does it 101 times. Asher Lo Avdo, he only learns 100 times. Frak the Gemara, Omrele, Umishum Chad Zimne, Kardei Lo Avdo. Now the Pasuk calls the two people, one person serves Oved Elokim, And the other one, lo al don. You're saying that they're both tzaddikim, which is one learned 101 and one learned 100. So what, the guy who learned 100 is called lo al don? There's such a tremendous gap between the guy who learns 100, 101, that he's called Avdo, and he's called Lo Avdo. It's too big of a gap for one time. Amar Le'in, yes. Say Uraman Mishaik Shechamrim. Look at the market of renting horses. Okay, or whatever, Chamo, the Mule. Asara Parsi Bezuzo. If you rent an animal to carry your load for 10 parsi, you only pay one zuz. Chalas rei parsi, but if you go ahead 11 parsi, just a little bit more, all of a sudden the price doubles. Betray zuz. Okay. Says Rashi. Rashi says, ain't a dime is shown a pair. Gabi shetain sadikim. They're even though both tzaddikim, they're not equal. She's of the yoiser. Samara says, but that such a big gap. Says, yeah, asara parsi, yaskin of them chamor bezuz echad. Person will rent out his chamor for one zuz. Why? Shekach nogu kain. That's a minik. Vimtomer lo leda parsi yoiser. But if you ask a little bit more, yishal koshnei, they'll double the price. So this is the gemara. A plea of the gemara. The gemara asks a kash on the pasik. The Pasuk is saying, the way they learn the Pasuk, that you have two tzaddikim, one person learned 100, one person learned 101, and he one's called that he was an Oyven Elkim, the other one's called Lo Avdo. So they ask the Kasha, that's too big of a gap. So you say, well, you look at the market, you hire a taxi, there's a certain price for the first 10 miles, and once you go a little bit more, it doubles the price. So, okay, like, how does that answer the question? So that also doesn't make sense. You know, the McTaxo, you go, yeah, I mean, you're right, it's a kasha there too. Why should a guy double the price just because I dreamt to drop more? So when I heard Pshat, he said as follows. What Pshat and the taxi driver? That a taxi driver is that in life, practically speaking, you have to have a cutoff point. The guy who gets a 65 passes. The guy who gets a 64 flunks. For one measly point, you're going to flunk me. So what are you going to do? Okay, you'll pass at 64. Then the guy at 63 says, for one measly point, you flunk me, right? So at some point, you got to have a cutoff point. I'm sorry. Yes, for one measly point, you flunk you. There's a cutoff point. So there's really not such a big difference between a 68, 67, 66, 65. But between 64 and 65, there's a cutoff point. Maybe that's kaka the way it is. Same thing by a taxi driver. There's a certain, you pay a certain flat rate, you get a certain amount. Now, what? So every time you're going to say, well, this is what it costs for 10 miles. This, I want 10 miles in a quarter. And I want 10 miles and a half. So at some point, there has to be a cutoff point. That's what Rashi says. Shekar nogu kein. This is a minik. It's a minik because you can't exist otherwise. So what the Gemara is saying in Chiddush, a tremendous Chiddush, is that there's a rule, Dina de Malchusa and Shemaya, Dina Shemalchusa de Shemaya ke Malchusa de Ara. That Hashem runs the din in Shemayim the same way it's run in Olam Hazeh. We have a Yom Kippur. Really, he says, Hashem doesn't need a Yom Kippur. Hashem could keep a running Cheshbon. He doesn't need a Rosh Hashanah. But for our sake, so that we can relate to the din, so the din in this world is done the same as Hashem, and people do it, the din of Shemayim. So in this world, there are cutoff points. So our Kaddish Baruch Hu also has cutoff points. So just like it seems so that one little teeny point, you go from 64 to 65, Kaddish Baruch Hu has the same thing. So there's a madrega called Eino Avdo, and there's a different madrega called Avdo. There's a cutoff point, right? That's the site. The Maisa, many people, I heard this from many people, And the insight is, it's not just for Avdo, Eino Avdo. It's the insight in there are cutoff points in everything. Rav Itzela says, it's in a Sefer, and this Rambam, there's an example. You read the Rambam. Everyone has mitzvahs and averes. Mishas chuyos of yisera v'avoynos of tzaddik. If his chuyos are more than his avoynos, it's a tzaddik. Misha avoynos yisera is chuyos of Russia. Maxa maxa benoni. Now, what does it mean, mishas chuyos of yisera is our avoynos? By how much? Doesn't say. So it's mashra, even a drop. So a guy has 1,500,000 averes and 1,500,000 and one mitzvahs. Tzaddik. Misha v'noz yisera tzaddik kliyosov, Russia. So says Rav Itzela, what? For the difference between two mitzvahs? You know? Basically one, you know, this one has... They both have 1,000,000 mitzvahs and averes. This guy got 1,000,001 mitzvahs, and this guy got 1,000,001 averes. So he's a tzaddik and he's a rasha. Yeah, he should be close, you know? It's close. So Rav Isla says the same. That's his point, that they're cutoff points. There's a group in Shemayim called tzaddikim. So how do you group get into the group of tzaddikim? By having more zchuyas than avinus. There's a group in Shemayim called Rishayim. How do you get into that group? By having more averes than mitzvahs. At some point, they're almost identical. There's a cutoff point. Right? Those who remember, Shiva used to say this. I used to give a mashal of the baseball. Shiva used to make it a mashal that there's the minor leagues and the major leagues. And the best player in the minor leagues is probably almost as good as the worst player in the major leagues. But he's in the minor leagues and he's in the major leagues. And it's ain't a dime rocha miserhamirith. The guy's in the major leagues, you're gonna want his autograph. He's way up there. Right? The guy in the minor leagues, you know, he probably has to wash dishes in the in the off season in the restaurant, because there's a difference. There's a cutoff point. Rav Yisrael said this by tshuva, that there's a cutoff point when you're considered about tshuva, and when you're not considered about tshuva. What does he say the cutoff point is?
It's in tshuva.
What?
The Gederos of tshuva.
Yeah, what makes you into the Gederos of tshuva?
Turn around.
What?
First turn around the way.
That Rabbi Zion didn't say that. That's Rabbi Hoffman said
that.
What?
You're on the road.
That's Rabbi Hoffman said that. But Rabbi Yisrael said when you start learning Musar. That's, you know, you don't realize the Hezbollah. Okay. In other words, he said that there's a Madrega. Rabbi Yisrael said there's a Madrega called Eisei tshuva, and a person who is an Eisei Tshuva is judged completely different than a person who's not an Eisei Tshuva. There's, just like a tzaddik is treated, obviously a tzaddik is treated completely different as a Rasha. So an Eisei Tshuva is treated completely different as a non-Eisei Tshuva. And it gets an Eisei Tshuva, the difference between an Eisei Tshuva and not, is an Eisei Tshuva takes the first step. He starts learning Musar. That way puts him in the Gedder of Eisei Tshuva, and now he's in a different world. Okay. Anyway, it's a very interesting Hashkafa. I think it's an interesting Hashkafa. That little differences sometimes, I say all the time, between 67 and 68, the little difference doesn't make such a difference. But there are points in time where a minor difference moves you from one world to another. One mitzvah, you know, the two people, they have equal mitzvahs of averes. One mitzvah will move you to a tzaddik, and one aver will move you to a rasha. And basically, the people say that applies by everything. You have them, there's shari tshuva, there's katz al etzonim, katz ba'ali lashon hara, whatever, any group. How do you, what is, there's some cutoff point between a person who's defined as a Baal Lashon Hara, and he gets into Kas Lashon Hara, and there's all kinds of punishments for a person in Kas Lashon Hara, including that he loses some of his mitzvahs, etc., etc. And the people that are not in the Kas Lashon Hara, there are people that are in Kas of Zitzonis, and not Lashon, people in Kas of Shakranim, and right? There's all kinds of different groups. There's Talmidei Chachamim and not Talmidei Chachamim. So the cutoff point is only microscopic. There's a microscopic difference which puts the two people on the two ends of the world. Right? Svara, we wouldn't have said that. We would have said it's not fair. But that's what the Gemara says. And Hashem runs the world the same way that the guy who rents the chamors. When he went to chamors, they medayik then in Rashi, shekvar nogu kein. Like that's a minig. You gotta have the minig. You can't run the world otherwise. You can't run a store unless you have a cutoff point. Kach nogu. So that's a minig in people. So Hashem does the same thing. Okay. Now, why is this so important? I think it's a chiddush intellectually, but why is it so important?
Never know what you're looking.
So there's a few reasons why it's very important. If I can remember, try and remember. The first reason is, in general, it seems to be very inspirational. There's this Gemara in Kedushin, which I never understood, but I'll say it anyway. The Gemara, which they say is the basis for this Rambam. The Gemara in Kedushin says, Zamem, La'oinam yira adam atzmo, kido chetzav chatzav chetzav zakai. Right? A person is supposed to walk around and think that the world, that he is half chayiv and half, he's exactly even. And not only he's exactly even, but the whole world is exactly even. And if he does one mitzvah, that's it. He's going to become a tzaddik, and the whole world will be tzaddikim. And if he does one aveira, he's a rasha, the whole world is rishon. Now, I always had a kasha on this Gemara. Come on. What are the odds? That, you know how many mitzvahs I do in my life? You know how many averas I do in my life? You mean to tell me what are the odds that this one mitzvah is going to make that difference? One avera? You know, I got about a few million mitzvahs. There are mitzvahs smidis every second, right? Just wearing tzitzis is every second is a mitzvah. There's mitzvahs of the Shem Shabura brings the things you're supposed to believe. There's mitzvah tzmidis. There's so many mitzvah tzmidis. Every second of your life, you get a mitzvah. There are probably averis tzmidis, you know. Sinas chinam, whatever. You know, like, I got mitzvahs and averis galore. So one more is going to make me, you know, what are the odds that I'm exactly equal? So the Gemara says this is supposed to inspire you. So apparently the simple shot, I actually saw someone ask this kasha, and they do give other pshatim, but the general, the most posh pshat, the way most people learn, is, and what's the odds that you're going to win the lottery? How many people just bought the lottery? Anyway, how many, you know? Come on, how many people bought the lottery ticket? What? I would have bought, but I didn't get to a store. But okay, you know, there's, right? What was it, $1 billion? $1 million, what is it? A lot of money. So people, the odds that you're going to win the lottery are also almost zero, zero, zero. But somehow or another, it inspires people. People get inspired. So it's a motivator. It's possible. Even if it's unlikely, the possibility is a very inspiring thing. I remember reading a book about a Holocaust survivor, and he was talking about how they were on this march when the Germans were running away at the end of the war, and they marched them hundreds of miles, and it was like a death march. People were dying, and he says there was a person with him, and they kept on telling him, oh, see that mountain? That's where we're going. When we get there, we're going to rest. We got that, and they got the next mountain. Oh, okay, I made a mistake. It's the next mountain. So but it was possible. So the possibility that it could be gave him strength. So the one thing, the most simple thing is the fact that any time you do a mitzvah or any time you do an aveira, it's possible that you're crossing a line, and it's not just one more aveira or one more mitzvah, but you could be crossing the line and changing, you know, from going from avdol to lo avdol. Maybe you learned 1,000 times, and this will go from 1,000 to 1,001, or the equivalency. So that's it has the ability to inspire people. Okay. But that's one. The second point, what I think is very important, that's really why I wanted to say this, is because there are things that we do know where the cutoff point is. And one of the that we know is tshuva. That's Rav Yisrael. Rav Yisrael Salanter. He says that the Geder Oisa Tshuva, that's Rabbi Hoffman, there he goes on that a lot. So that's very, very important, because we did on our Chumash share, right, we spoke about that, we said it on this week's Parsha, that when the Bnei Yisrael, when the Shekhinah didn't come down to the Mishkan, so the Bnei Yisrael were upset. And why were they upset? What does Rashi say? Someone remember the Shmuz? What?
They thought they weren't forgiven.
He says, "V'nei dash and so we said a Shmuz that the Bnei Yisrael's biggest complaint is we want to know that we were forgiven. What about the fact that you want a Mishkan because he's a Mishkan? But knowing that you're forgiven for your Averis is more important. The reason being is because when a person feels he has an Avera and he feels guilty, that's a tremendous holdback for serving, for going further. It's very hard to push yourself when you feel you're never going to make it anyway. I quoted many, many times Rav Moshe Chait, the Rishon Eretz Yisrael. I heard him say this many times, that if you see a guy in yeshiva, or he said that the main reason, first year guys come to Israel, within Israel, there are guys that come to Israel for a year, just for fun, whatever, I don't want to say, you know, because that's what everyone does, and then after a year, they go home. But there are guys that they stay for more than 1 year, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. He says once a guy stays for more than 1 year, if he reads yeshiva, it's only for one reason. It's because he feels guilty, and he feels he's not making it, and he feels he's upset about his averis, and he feels, oy vey, I'll never be a tzaddik anyway, I'll never be a talmid chacham, how me, the bum, and obviously he would want to, because he committed himself to stay another year, or 2 years, or three, and it shows that he wants it, and if he drops out after a year, or 2 or 3 years, it's only because he feels guilty, and the guilt makes him, I'll never make it anyway. I'll never be, you know, I thought I'd come to yeshiva and be a tzaddik, be a talmid chacham, and be kaddish and tor, and he doesn't go, can't do it, and he feels guilty. And Hashem probably, so he's not gonna, get siyata d'shmaya. He says that's what he used to say. I don't say never an exception, but generally speaking, he said, and all the people generally that drop out of yeshiva is 99% because of guilt. So getting rid of guilt is extremely important. That's what Klai Yisrael said by the ego. We got to get rid of our guilt. So this yesod is one of the most important yesodis. This yesod is that the ma'isa, tshuva, you know, we never know how good our tshuva is, right? We very often doubt our tshuva, especially because very often comes Motzoi Yom Kippur, and we're back where we were. So we very often feel, you know, if a week after Yom Kippur, we're doing the same averis we did before Yom Kippur, so in the back of our mind, we say, oh, you see, I was a phony. My tshuva was worthless. I wasn't really doing tshuva. Haraya, look at that, I'm back. So then we feel tremendous guilt. I have all these averis, and my tshuva wasn't any good. I didn't do real tshuva. Haraya, you know, I thought I was doing tshuva, but I say I'm not. And then that's when you get all guilty, and that's when you get, according to Rabbi Chait, and you drop out of yeshiva. And even a guy, the rule is for every one guy who drops out, you have five guys who don't drop out, but they drop out their drive. They become less motivated. It's just like with every rule. For every one couple that gets divorced, there are five couples that aren't happily married, right? Basically. I don't know the exact statistics, but it's something like that. So for every guy that leaves yeshiva because he's so overcome with guilt that he feels, I'll never make it. You have another five guys who are half overcome with guilt, which don't allow them to function, to push. Because so this Yisrael of Rav Yisrael is one is that since there's a cutoff point, and the cutoff point for tshuva is very little. Doesn't mean you're totally forgiven, but you're in the geder oisei tshuva. That's a tremendous level. The difference between a geder oisei tshuva and not geder oisei tshuva is the same like the geder between, you know, here that the guy who learns one more time is oved okim ve'eino oved. You know, that's a major difference. So the guy who makes a first step in doing tshuva, just to learn mussar, he's already in the geder oisei tshuva. Right, we said many times that the Reshiva was very makbid. I think I just said it last week. The Reshiva was very makbid. He didn't want guys reading Svarim that talked about the Choymer of the Avera of Zeret of Atoa, etc. And there were two reasons. One is because he felt that the Avera, even though the Svarim talking about a tremendous, tremendous Choymer and Avera, so he felt that that doesn't apply by most people because they were talking about a person who does the Aveira b'mezid, b'simcha. If you would give the guy a pill and you say, I'll give you a pill which will take away your Yetzer Hara and you won't do any more Aveiras, would you take the pill? So if the guy would say, of course, I love the pill, so then he's not b'mezid. It means he's Yitzre Ansei. Right? So that the, now it's not Mamashinus. So first of all, Yeshiva held that we're not in, most guys in Yeshiva, even if they're nichshol, they're not in the geder of total ratzon. Haraya, if you would give them a pill to take away the Yetzer Hara, they'd be thrilled. But the second reason is because they're also, everyone's doing partial tshuva. And the partial tshuva totally changes the chomer aveira. So this, what the Svarim are talking about, a person who does the aveira b'mezid, and he doesn't do any tshuva. But if we're doing the Aveira not b'mezid, and we're doing partial tshuva, obviously it's still, you know, still an Aveira, but the degree of guilt should be greatly, greatly decreased. And by decreasing the guilt, you go ahead and help the guy to be able to learn, to be able to sit in yeshiva, to strive to grow, because a person has to believe that's part of the Gadlus HaAdam idea. The theme of Gadlus HaAdam is when a person believes in himself that he has tremendous kaychus, then he doesn't want to waste his kaychus. If I know I could become the next Gadol HaDor, I'm not going to waste my kaychus and sit around and play computer games. If I think I'll never amount to anything anyway, so why not enjoy life? So a person who feels guilty, he thinks he would never amount to anything, then he doesn't have that drive to push. Okay, there's a sefer here. I'm talking too much, but the sefer here, I think I once gave this to the guy. There's a very beautiful thing. This is from Rav Avrahami, who wrote the Binyan Oilam. It's called Ha'olam B'Vinyano. What happened was that apparently, I told the guys this story already. And I told the guys this story, no?
What?
I told the guys. There's a mice in my face.
They don't know it.
What?
The guy's trying out. But
I can't hear you.
The queen's cover, don't know.
They didn't hear the mice in my face. I'll tell them the mice in my face. There was a person in Eretz Yisrael who wrote a sefer called the Binyan Oilam. He wrote it without, no one knew who wrote it. It was, you know, he wrote it without his name, the famous sefer. But so when I was in Israel, I went to visit, there was a Rebbe in Hominer. Her husband was a Choshri Gadol. So I asked her if there's any Talmidim if her husband's still alive. So she told me, oh, there's one Talmid, Radovid Avrahami. I said, what does he do? I don't know. He wrote some sefer, Binyan Oilam. Right? So she spilled the beans. So we found out who wrote it. So we called him up, looked him up in the phone book, and we used to go to him. Anyway, but the sefer doesn't have his name in it. I don't think, even now, I don't know if it has his name in it. So I don't think people knew who wrote the sefer. So, okay. But I got very close to him. And the Sefer has a certain layout, the way it's written. Now, in Miami, the biggest chisaron in Miami, I don't say the biggest, but one of the biggest, I shouldn't tell the, is that there are no svarim stores in Miami. It's hard to get decent svarim, except for where is our now we got a svarim store. But till the Avram Berry, we have no real good svarim store in Miami. So, Mamish and Maisa and my face, I walk into the Young Israel of here, Miami, Ben Azman and the Davin, and there's like four or five svarim on the table, Hefker. And one sefer was called Binyan Yisoid. I don't remember. Forgot what it's called. Anyway, and I look at it, and it just looks like, you know, the same layout exactly as a Binyan Oida. So it's just, and then I look at the copyright and the post office box. It was the same post office box. I knew the post office box. So anyway, at Risa, I checked on the computer because I there was a haskama there from somebody that didn't have the, you know, blocked out the name of who was a given haskama to. But I typed it into the computer and it came out of a safer that they printed of that person's sovin. And in there, they didn't take out the name. So real Enochem it was Haskama to Rav David Avrahami for that sefer. So I discovered a new sefer. I never knew he wrote it. So I wrote a letter. I was in touch with the family, and I wrote that I just, you know, found the new. I didn't know how the family wrote a sefer. So they wrote me back. They didn't know he wrote it either. Amazing thing. He said he wrote it in his youth. And he didn't write it, and you know they forget whatever. No, he never told anyone, so they didn't know he wrote it either. So they sent me back this sefer Oynabinyan, which they printed up his letters to his family members. It's like an interpersonal. It's basically letters to his kids. So this letter he sent to his kids. I don't think you can get this sefer in the stores. I don't know. Maybe you could, but it's a very interesting. So it's a very interesting sefer. So in here. He has a maisa. He says this. He basically is talking about especially teenagers get down on themselves because they do certain things that they shouldn't do, and then they the same idea they were saying they drop out, and he's talking a slightly different angle than in general that you have to teenagers. You know, that's teenagers are crazy. What do you want? But he makes this point. So if you look at the last, you look at the third paragraph from the end. We see today. We know from experience. There are Jews that are more precious than paz. I'm not sure. What's paz? Anyone know? What?
Fine gold.
Okay. Bale batim. Kain Rabbanim, Ramim, that means Rebbeim, Mechanchim de Gudim, right? Rosh Mesiftis, right? Mechanchim de Gudim, they are amazing teachers. Shebegil Atipe Shasar, when they're in their teenage years, Yitochin, these Rosh Hashivas, Mechanchim, when they were teenagers, Yitochin, Va'ovru al Mises Bezin, Chayve Mises Bezin, they did Averis. There are Rosh Hashivas. I'm not telling you what I did, but that's none of your business, right? But that being said, that there are Rosh Hashivas that were over on Mises Bezin. Mi b'chidol Shabbos. Some of them went ahead and did chidol Shabbos. Mi b'gnevis. Some of them stole. It's not so crazy. You have guys in yeshivas stealing. It does happen. Mi b'arayas. Some of them with mizana with arayas. V'im azman. As time went on, his yatsu b'derech hayosher, they straighten out. Ba'alzeh, hoydesh shomu adrodo remo. In other words, how do they not drop out? Because they listen to their parents and rabbeim that told them, "Don't quit. It's gonna get better. You're okay." Osher reim oremi tzikul achaskim chazaka. They gave him chizik. Hashiyav rezam. V'yoyzem izeh. Kiyoim today, because of what they did, there's an advantage. I don't think he's advocating you should do this, but he's saying that in retrospect, there's a mitzvah because a hadrik is b'nei aner, because now they could be the best rabbeim because they have experience. They can have the talmidim can relate to them and they can understand the talmidim. B'yoda mashad olavro aleihem ve'ein. I don't know what that word is. Okay. Osam Lodov them. You know how to give it, people encourage him. Okay. Anyway, but don't rely on yourself. The guy should never decide on his own, I'm no good. But you have to know that it's very often we say he's bored this is the teenage years, and my bored is because there's always tshuva. And even if you don't think tshuva is working, it is working. So that's extremely important. That really comes from this chazal, that even though we think sometimes that our tshuva is not the best, and it could be it's true, our tshuva is not the best, but we're in the gather of Eisei Tshuva. Because according to what the Gemara in Chagiga says, is there are cutoff points. And the cutoff point, Rabbi Yisroel was made, the cutoff point for tshuva is very, very slight. I show the guys, but okay, I don't want to go over too much, that Shlomo Kluger says the same thing as Rabbi Yisroel Salanter, that the cutoff point for tshuva is almost microscopic. You're ready in the gather of Osei Tshuva. Okay, anyway, so that's the second important reason. So the first reason why this is so important is because Tom, whenever you get an Isayin, you can always ask yourself, who knows, maybe this is a major decision. Second of all, there's a knowledge that by tshuva, at least, we know where the cutoff point is, so we should never get down on ourselves.
What did Rabbi mean by major decision?
What? No, and as it might be, you have a question you're going to learn tonight or not. So you say, what's a big deal? So I learn tonight, I don't learn tonight. But it could be that if you learn tonight, you'll go from, the odds are not so much. That you'll, okay, but that's the same by, you buy a lottery.
You should only think about that in the future.
Yes.
Okay. I'm like, I didn't learn for the past hour.
Oh, no, thank you. Good, yes.
So is that possible to do both?
Yes, because there you got tshuva. Okay, and the third thing I wanted to say, and I think this is hashkafically true, but it's not so befairish, but this is what I believe I heard from people, that the truth is we know where the cutoff point is in most places because there's such a thing called a binyan av. I don't remember from who, but we find in the Gemara the cutoff point is... like the guy by the taxi driver, 0 to 1, one is a cutoff point till 10, then 10 is a cutoff point. By learning is from 1 to 1,000, and then 1,000 to 2,000. By tshuva, Rav Yisrael said the cutoff point is a drop. By here, the Rambam, by Tzadik and Arusha, the cutoff point is a drop. One extra mitzvah makes you tzaddik, one extra avera makes you a rasha. So this Gadol said that what it seems that the cutoff points are always by a drop. The first step. In other words, a person takes, let's say, a person takes the first step. He signs up for yeshiva. Okay. He goes to yeshiva. It's the first step. So that's a cutoff point. He took a first step. Staying in yeshiva second, third, or fourth year, that's very nice, but that's probably not the cutoff point. But the cutoff point of going from high school to Beis Medrash is probably a cutoff point. Because when you take the first step, but you apply that to other things, a person who tries, there are certain madregas in shleimus that mostly we give up on because we don't think we can do. We can't, maybe davening with kavana, some people give up on. doing mitzvahs l'shem shamayim, many people give up on. Doing mitzvahs b'simcha, we give up on. Because, well, you know, it's hard, you know, doing mitzvahs l'shma, whatever that means. You know, many people, we don't bother because I can't reach these madregas. You know, but really, you know, you hear the stories of tzaddikim that they did mitzvahs mamish, shem shamayim, lasos, nachas, ruach, leboire, and they really meant it. I'm doing this because Hashem wants me to do the mitzvah. Oh, come on, I don't do mitzvahs for that reason, right? We'll take that example, right? The highest level of doing a mitzvah is the shema. The highest level of the shema is lasos, nachas, ruach, leboire. I'm doing this mitzvah because I know Hashem is happy that I do the mitzvah. I want to make Hashem happy. Now, I have to tell you the truth. I'm a very self-centered person. When I do mitzvahs, I'm doing mitzvahs because I want Olam Haba, I want Olam Hazeh, I want a good shidduch, I want to get health. I'm not doing mitzvahs to make Hashem happy, you know? But it could be that once I'm doing a mitzvah anyway, because I'm going to get it. You tell me it makes Hashem happy. Okay, that's good. You know, I don't mind making Hashem happy. In fact, I'm glad to make Hashem happy. I don't know if I would work extra hard just to make Hashem happy, but I surely, you know. So according to the svara, to be called doing mitzvahs of shema, obviously to be in the cutoff. That you're in the you're just like Bichlau Oisei Tshuva, you just gotta be a drop of tshuva. Now it doesn't mean you're as good as the other guy, but you're in that. When in Shamayim they say all the people that did tshuva line up on this line, right? So you'll be there. All the major leagues, all the minor leagues. So he's saying the same thing, and they say all the people that are doing mitzvahs to shame. Lasos nachas ruach lebayre. They're treated specially. So if you have a dakas of kavana, lasos nachas ruach lebayre, you're in that group. So you made you revolutionized yourself. You crossed from one group. I was in the group of people. If I didn't have that drop of kavana, I'm in the group of people who are doing mitzvahs totally for myself, which itself is a mitzvah. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. That's also the shema, but it's not the highest level of the shema. Because I'm doing it because Hashem said so, because I'm doing it to get schar from Hashem. That's called the shema too, but it's not the highest level of shema. It's the bottom level of the shema. But now I add a microscopic kavana of lasos nachas ruach lebayre. So now I'm in a different category. If I add a certain amount of simcha, maybe that's easier. I can get myself a little bit happy in doing mitzvahs because I think of all the benefits I get from the mitzvahs. So I get a little bit of iftor Hashem b'simcha. I get a little bit of iftor Hashem b'yira. You know, you're supposed to really, when you do a mitzvah, you're supposed to feel a drop of yira too, that it's like you're cutting diamonds. When you cut a diamond, you're supposed to feel a little bit, I better make sure I do it right. So if we could get even when we're doing a mitzvah, a drop of yira or a drop of simcha, then at least as far as that mitzvah, we just transformed it into a different category, right? Most of my mitzvahs are not with simcha. Now I just did a mitzvah, and that's in the category of mitzvahs to simcha. Wow, it's in the category of mitzvahs we mentioned, right, I assume people remember that we did in the Yisrael V'Shar Shavayda, that he said that two people fasting, right, I think you remember, and he said that one guy who comes Yom Kippur, and he's looking at the clock, I can't wait till the fast over, and the other guy says, sitting there, wow, what an amazing mitzvah. Every second I fast, I get a mitzvah. I wish the fast would go on longer. I get more mitzvahs. He says they both end up breaking their fast at the exact same time. But the guy with the more positive attitude, he said he gets how much more schar? What?
Alef alfem.
I think a million. A million times more. So when you add these extra little things, you just you super energize your mitzvahs. So according to this chazal, you know, we give up on these madregas because we say, well, I can't really do mitzvahs for simcha. Okay, you read, man, you know, the certain tzaddikim, they did a dance when they, you know, some chassidish rebbe, he got such a simcha and he did a mitzvah, you know, but that's not for me. Or I can't do it, be, you know, the shema or an ava, but a little bit we can do. And when we do it with a little bit, not even necessarily every time, even one time, but we, that means you broke into that area. The very big thing, and many sfarim talk about this, that you have to start. You have to, even if you don't see that it's not possible for you to go too far, but starting is amazing. And according to what we're saying here, the word is, because when you start, you change where your madrega. It's an amazing thing. Okay, I just want to end with the Alshach. The Alshach is a little bit another reason why you have to start. He says, Habor etayim esayim avoyzo. Kiterim yask odem eitim eim esayim esam min ha-shamayim. Odem akar ha-eichelo mavshichin osam ha-keres ha-kosher ha-kedusha. So the Alshach is saying another svara, that very often we don't start because we give up, because I'm not going to get too far anyway. But he says that's not a good cheshbon, because it could be the reason why you think you're not going to get too far anyway, because you don't have any siyata d'shmaya. But once you start, there's a svara that bought a time in so. So you will get much, you will be able to go further. You don't envision you can go further, because right now, Bashir Husham, you can't go further, because you don't have siyata d'shmaya. But you get the siyata d'shmaya when you start. So he's saying a different svara than I'm saying. I'm saying the svara you should start, because even if you don't go further, starting is radical. Starting moves you into a different dimension. And that's very important. You get into a different dimension, be a different type of person. But he says another svara, completely different, that starting opens up the floodgates for siyata d'shmaya. So if you get the floodgates, this is like the story, you know, with Bas Paro, that she stretched out her hand, that she started. And then she got siyata d'shmaya, that she succeeded. You know, so when you start, so even though it does, al biderech hateva, there was no logical reason sticking out your hand, and don't ask me on that case, but the concept that, you know, doesn't look like it's going to go, but you got to start. And when you start, you get some kind of siyata d'shmaya. Okay, anyway, that's my basic words. So the idea is really, I think there's a very big chiddush that there are cutoff points.
How is that yashrus?
Yeah, how is that yashrus? Because that's exactly what the Gemara is asking. And the Gemara answers, far nogu kain.
So therefore Hashem
that's what they say.
I'd rather Hashem not work like us and I get what I deserve.
Okay.
Is
so
it a chesed?
Complain to the that's what it's saying. Far nogu kain. This is the way when you go argue with your taxi driver, that, you know, the taxi driver says, he says a rate is, you know, such and
why,
such.
Why does
and,
Hashem
and now
work like
I went
that?
5 minutes over. You know, I parked my car somewhere, and it says an hour, first 3 hours, $5-$10. Next, you know, done. And then I went 1 minute, 2 minutes over. Come on. I'm sorry, you got to pay.
Why does Hashem need to work
because
like that?
I don't know why. So they say because of this svara. But that's what it is. That's kach nagu. This is how the world runs. And Hashem runs the same way. I'm not really a philosopher. I can't tell you why. But that's what the Gemara says.
Why is the pashtus that the cutoff point's right at the beginning?
It's not pashtus at the cutoff point at the beginning. That's what we see from all the chazal. We see by the Gemara. It's a zero and a thousand. A thousand is like an end. The goal is to learn 1,000. So then you're beginning the second time around. But you see,
the 100 and 101.
100 and 101 on that side.
So
but you see by the Rambam that it's the schuyas is like one more schus, one more avera.
Yeah, it's one more, and but I have to do 1,000 schus to catch up.
No, it's anytime it's one more. One more. If you go from zero to one, if you had one, it also would be.
That's what a cutoff point is.
Okay, so
the
cutoff point is one. One more is a cutoff point. That's a very small. There's a very, You don't have to be defined as tzaddik. You don't have to be a gigantic tzaddik. You're just a microscopic tzaddik. To be defined as a Russia, you don't need to be a gigantic Russia. You're just a microscopic Russia. To be defined as a Baal Tshuva, you don't have to be a tremendous Baal Tshuva. You just have a microscopic Tshuva. So what this Gadol said, and to me, is that you see both in the Gemara that by learning, you know, the guy who goes a little bit, you're supposed to learn 100 times. So the guy who goes a little bit beyond what's extra. Guy, the little tzaddik, a little Russia, a little Tshuva. Those are all the cutoff points. So this Gadol, I don't remember who it was. I can't even tell you. But it was a Chosra person, said that it seems from all the cases that we know that all the cutoff points were at the very beginning. So he said that he...
No, it's my 101st time learning this. It's not in the very beginning.
That's it, because the goal is, the first cutoff point is at 0 to 1. That's one cutoff point. Now, there's a learning, you're supposed to learn to 100. That's a chashiv atikah of learning. Then you go now, 101, it's like you're starting over again. In the Rambam by Tzaddik in Russia, there's clearer. You just one more.
If I've been a Russia for 5 years and I don't want to be a tzaddik, so I have to do 5 years of being a tzaddik to get my schools
bigger than ever. True, when you get rid of everything. We're talking about, but right now, I don't know about what we're talking about.
The first step is not going to make me a tzaddik. It takes 5 years to make it back.
First step of being a drop more, a drop tzaddik, a teeny tzaddik is called a tzaddik. A person whose mitzvahs are a drop more than his averis is a microscopic tzaddik.
Maybe said it works the
and
other
yet
way too,
he's labeled a tzaddik like any other tzaddik.
It works the other way
and
also.
Vice versa. The guy whose
averis,
it might take him 5 years to get there. That's not relevant. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about what makes the cutoff point. The cutoff point is when you're a drop tzaddik. You're labeled tzaddik. You're not called, oh, you're just somewhere in the middle. No, you're not labeled Beinoni. The Beinoni is almost doesn't exist. You're labeled tzaddik. And the guy who's a drop Russia is labeled a Russia. And the guy who does a drop of tshuva is labeled a Baal Tshuva. So the person who is doing a drop of that madrega is where the cutoff point is.
But it's not necessarily the first step.
It's not necessarily it takes 1 second. I didn't say it takes 1 second. But it takes, when you do a drop of something, then you cross the line. You're doing a little bit of this thing. Okay. That's the best I can explain. What? Cheaper?
Yeah, well, you buy both.
Okay, and I got it. It's not cheap. Every mitzvah is amazing. And every avera, this is besides the mitzvah and avera, but we're not cheaping it. Every mitzvah is $1 million. Every avera is $1,000, whatever, the other way. But besides which, there's such a thing as being labeled a tzaddik. And being labeled a Russia. It doesn't take away that every mitzvah.
Minor drop to be labeled a Russia.
It doesn't take away that every mitzvah is amazing. But as far as being labeled a tzaddik, which has a big relevance, there's a different thing. Okay, you scream at me later.
Are you saying that if everyone has a lot of money,
was the system.